Today is the day that Jesus died that we might live. But so often we hear that might sound banal and repetitive to you. I think if I were you, I probably would have already tuned out by this point. How about another account of a person who died so that another might live? Sometimes we need this to actually grasp that this is possible. I'm going to tell you about an Italian woman born in 1922 on October 4th. Quite against the norm at the time, she actually became a physician. In 1940, she became a physician. Not only a physician, she became a surgeon, she became a pediatrician, studying at Milan, opened an office in Maseru. Well, she got married, met Pietro Mola. They married in September of 1955. 1 year later, 1956, they had Pier Luigi. 1 year after that, they had Mariolina, and then Laura in 1959. But in their fourth pregnancy, something happened. In the second month of this, it turns out that Gianna, this Italian pediatrician, got a fibroma on her uterus. After the examination, the physicians that were treating her gave her three options: either an abortion, a hysterectomy, the removal of the uterus, or she could continue on. Of course, the Catholic Church is against the first. The Church would hesitantly allow the second because it's removing the uterus, and an effect of that would be the death of the baby, but it's not intended. It's called the theory of double effect. And so the removal of the uterus would have been allowed. But Gianna said this: "If you must choose between me and the baby, no hesitation, choose, and I demand it, the baby. Save the baby." Another quote from her, she says, "Also in suffering, let us say, thanks be to God." Well, as you can see where this story is going, she in fact did give birth to a beautiful child, but she relinquished her own life so that her daughter might live. Now, I didn't have a chance to verify this because we had so many confessions today, but I had heard at one point that her husband and her children, it was the only time in history when a husband and children were in St. Peter's Square for the canonization of their wife and mother. She became St. Gianna. She died so that her children might live. But it took a real act of immolation. When I read that quote, "If you must choose between me and the baby, no hesitation, choose, and I demand it, the baby, save the baby," I think of the 500 to 1,000 confessions that we heard today. For each one, Jesus said, "If you must choose between me and this penitent, choose them." Him looking through time. "Choose them, I will die, so that he may live, so that she may live." Can you imagine being at this suffering St. Gianna at her deathbed? They said that she suffered unspeakable pain the last 48 hours of her life, offering it to Jesus at every moment. Now, those of you who have children know that birth is not like what we see in the movies. And I was in for a big shock when I did my paramedic rounds helping deliver babies. On a personal note, I can say, nothing could have prepared me for all of that blood and water. We're Catholics, we can take this. The baby covered in slime and blood. Now, it seems off topic from tonight. Follow me one step more off topic so we can get back on topic. Marian theology. This provides a problem for Marian theology because this is actually infallible in an encyclical of the 20th century under Pope Pius XII that says Mary gave birth miraculously. Some people think that's just pious devotion, but all the church fathers are unanimous in it, at least the ones I've read. But it was crystallized in the teaching of a 20th century pope that Mary gave birth miraculously. In other words, she was spared the pains just like Eve would have been spared if she hadn't fallen. Doesn't mean it wasn't a human birth. It was an absolutely human birth. John Paul II says Joseph was there for this virgin birth. She was a virgin before the birth, during the birth, and forever after the birth. But spared the pain, spared the blood, spared the water, spared the slime. Well, this provides a little bit of a problem for us, doesn't it? If Mary was spared all this, how could we say that Jesus and Mary have taken all of the sins of the world? Where did Mary experience her son covered in blood and water, holding him at the foot of the cross? The famous Pietà in the Vatican. Mary holding him, covered in his own blood, covered in the spittle of Romans, covered in the spittle of enemies, maybe even covered in the spittle of his friends. Here she is, holding his body, full of blood, full of slime. Whose birth? The birth of the church. It's your and my birth to new life at this moment. Mary, not spared that, holding her only begotten son. The blood, the Eucharist we receive tonight, the water, the waters of baptism where you will see people become new creations here tomorrow night in the very front. That water that comes from his side, the blood that strengthens us to live a life like St. Gianna. There was another one there covered with the blood and the water. We heard him mentioned when the deacon read John chapter 19. He's not named in Scripture, but tradition calls him Longinus or Longinus. He was the one who pierced Jesus' heart. He was the Roman centurion, didn't know anything much about the Jewish God. He had his own Roman gods. He's the one who lifted that sword into Jesus' chest. He too was covered with his blood and the water. There's a convert to the Catholic faith named Dr. Taylor Marshall, and on his blog today he has a meditation. It's actually on this man, and he asks you to pretend like you're him. So with eyes open or eyes closed, I'd ask you to listen to this short meditation that Dr. Taylor Marshall gives. Imagine for a moment that you are St. Longinus, the centurion who plunged his spear into the chest of the dead Jesus of Nazareth. You have carried this spear for years. You know its weight. You have sharpened its point. You've killed dozens of men with the same spear. It's yours. Today is a hard day. A controversial execution. You speak Latin with your comrades and watch the hours pass. However, you keep looking up at this man, Jesus. You see his mother, Mary. His disciple, John. His disciple, Mary Magdalene. The crowd is bigger than usual. You look up and see the eyes of Jesus. You see all his wounds. Occasionally, his eyes fall on you. He looks at you. You're killing him, but he's not angry at you. After it becomes dark, there is an earthquake. Now you're a little nervous. It is finished. Your boss comes over and says, "Is the scourged man dead yet?" You say, "Yes, I think so." Stab him with your spear, make sure. So you push your spear into his chest. The body does not flinch or move. You have to push pretty hard to break through skin, muscle, and bone. It goes deep, all the way to the heart. When you pull the spearhead out, blood and water gush out from the hole in his side. The blood and water sprinkle your head, shoulders, and feet. That wetness on your hair and forehead has transformed you. Suddenly you've been converted. You are born again. You are the only person in history to literally pierce the heart of God. Although Jesus was already dead, in his deity and in his soul, he loves you. He smiles on you in your new identity with him. Each of us is Longinus. Each of us has pushed our spear into the side of Jesus. Today on Good Friday, imagine yourself pushing the spear point into his side. That spear point represents your mortal sin, your venial sin, your worries, your complaints and your ingratitude. You know its weight. You've carried it for years. You've spent a lot of time sharpening it. You've hurt a lot of people with it. So lift it up high and push it with effort into the man who is your God, Savior, and King. His pure water and blood will moisten your head. You now belong to him forever.